Obviously, on these Sunday nights, we have an abbreviated sermon because we've added to our Sunday nights the Soldiers of Christ that begin at 6 o'clock. And how edifying is that to be able to be reminded about Jesus? Let's get to tonight's lesson, the same format we've used in other nights, and that is, let the Bible speak. And this time, let the Bible speaks about the millennial reign. Have you heard of the millennial reign? Have you heard the 1,000 years? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we're going to skip the text, that's slide number 2, and come back to that a little bit later. And let's just go to this next slide, because the format, those who've been here know that on one side of the screen, we put the doctrines of men. On the other side of the screen, we put the doctrines of God, and underneath that, we add these words, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's the whole design of what we're trying to do, is to put on one side what men have said about the Bible, and then on the other side, to let the Bible expose or teach the truth about these matters, and that is exactly what we're going to do tonight. Do you know the word premillennialism? I remember early when I heard it, I remember being a student at Freed Hardeman, and I remember a fellow by the name of Phil Evanson, and I said, Phil, what are you taking next quarter? And he said, well, Brother Dixon is teaching premillennialism, and he's promised me if I can learn to spell it, I'll get an A+. And it's a word that we don't use much at all, and I thought Phil's way of describing it was a great. What is that all about? Here's the doctrine briefly stated. Has all different kinds of formats. Individuals take it and twist it in some way or in other ways, and we may point out some of that. But millennialism says Jesus is really not reigning. He came the first time to become king of the Jews. He came to establish the kingdom. He promised to establish the kingdom, but they killed him. So he's gone back to heaven, and he's coming back in the millennium during that 1,000-year period, and he's coming back that second time, and at that time, Jesus will begin to reign, and that is to happen at his coming. Now, tied to that is a word not found in the Bible, and that in and of itself ought to make us raise an eyebrow. If we talk about the word rapture and say the word rapture is never found in the Bible at all, think about what an important part that is in this millennial doctrine, and yet the word's not even found in the Bible. You'd hear think individuals who believe in this doctrine and push this doctrine would be able to find that doctrine in the Bible. The rapture is not found in the Bible. Now, the doctrine says that when there is the rapture, that the righteous will be raised, and then Jesus will come to this earth. He'll come to the city of Jerusalem. And so that's the idea, is that when he comes back, not the wicked are going to be raised, only the righteous will be raised. And Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. I think it is interesting, if you'll think about it, that other individuals, there are those individuals called Anglo-Israelites. You don't know much about them. In the British country, there you'll see this doctrine more often among a religious group called Adelphians. You've got individuals who believe it. They believe he's coming back to London, and that the throne of David is going to be in London. And you may have heard of the radio evangelist several years ago, Herbert W. Armstrong, with The World Tomorrow. It was a very popular program years ago, and he didn't believe Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. He thought he's coming back to London. Now, the Mormons will tell you that he's not going to come back to Jerusalem. He's not going to come back to London. He's coming to Springfield, Missouri. And Joseph Smith, by the way, said it's going to happen in this generation. He didn't quite make it to Springfield, but someday when he comes back, he's coming back and he's going to go into that. That's another aspect and a twist that individuals place on this. And then at that time, Jesus will begin his reign, and he will reign for 1,000 years. That's the millennial doctrine. You refer to 1,000 years as a millennial, and so you've got this millennium doctrine. It's what you have, this doctrine. And at that time, when Jesus comes back, there will be a great warfare called Armageddon. And they, at one time they thought it'd be the atomic bombs that was what Armageddon was all about. Then it's the hydrogen bomb, and who knows what it's going to be, something from cyberspace, no doubt, that eventually will come. And so you got all of this doctrine, and the kingdom of God will then finally be set up. It's not set up yet. Even though Jesus said it's coming in the lifetime of those in the first century, those who advocate this doctrine say that it has not happened, that Jesus was Jesus didn't fully understand what was going to happen, and so he couldn't establish the kingdom, so he just, I know what I'll do. I'll establish the church. Now, when I come back, I'm going to establish the kingdom. And so that kingdom will be established. And then, after 1,000 years, the wicked will be raised. And so a major aspect of this doctrine, because it talks about the millennium, is the resurrection of the righteous, and 1,000 years later, the resurrection of the wicked. We're going to spend a lot of time focusing on that tonight, because individuals see that word 1,000 years over in the book of Revelation, and then they take that and they build all kinds of doctrines around that. Do we have time tonight? We're going to go to Revelation chapter 20 and look at what it says. Now, it is called premillennialism, pre meaning before. There is a doctrine that is postmillennial, and that is the idea that the kingdom of God will be established. This is postmillennialism, and the Jews will all be converted, so that when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem, the Jews will all be believers in Him, and then the millennium will come along. In fact, there was a book that was very popular many years ago, a large volume of a magazine called Millennial Harbinger. And the individual who published that for so many years believed that his books were the harbinger, forerunner of the millennium. So a great publication that was read widely in American history was a Millennial Harbinger, and that's post-millennialism. I love what Brother Keeble said. We mentioned him so many times, and it's regretful that the stories about him, will someday not be on this earth. I remember hearing Brother Keeble say, now let me explain this pre-millennialism. Pre means before. Millennium means 1,000, and then Brother Keeble in his own way says, and ism means it ain't so. And I love the way that he said that, and you start thinking about all of these isms. Isms mean it ain't so, and so, but it's very sincerely believed, and I'm not trying to mock the sincerity of those individuals who believed in that. Let me state it this way. How do you deal with this? Here's what the doctrines of men are. How do you answer that? Well, sometimes the simplest text from the Bible explain the difficult. That's the way we're going to deal with this first. I want us to look at the text that's already been read, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 through 26. You may want to open your Bible, because for the next several minutes, that's where we're going to be looking at what does this passage discuss. In addition to this, we'll also quote John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. And so we've got to, here's what we want to do. Here's the doctrines of men that's on the right side of the screen. On the left side of the screen, let's put 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 through 25. 1 Corinthians 15 discusses the resurrection. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. No doubt at all that this passage is talking about the resurrection of the dead. In fact, the whole chapter discusses the resurrection of the dead. But we just put that to point out the fact that this passage is a resurrection passage. Now, keep in mind, millennialism puts 1,000 years between the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked. But when it talks about the resurrection in this passage, it's talking about the resurrection of all mankind. Look in the next verse where it talks about the resurrection of Christ the resurrection. It says, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. See the word all? Look at the first part of that says that death came into this world for all men through Adam. And the verse says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I want you to understand, this is not a verse that discusses inherited sin. For whatever happened to mankind came to everybody in mankind, and everything that was lost in Adam is restored in Christ. Think of those words, as in Adam, even so. This cannot refer to spiritual death. This is not a Calvinistic passage. But it does discuss the resurrection. And so, how do all die in Adam? Remember the tree of life? Remember the separation away from the tree of life? And separated from the tree of life, men died. And in that way, we die in Adam. But this verse says, as we die in Adam, even so all shall be made alive in Christ. Whatever was lost in Adam will be regained in Christ. Now wait a minute. Then this passage discusses not just the resurrection of the righteous, but the resurrection of the wicked. And you've got to keep that in mind before we get any farther in this. As in Adam, all, even so in Christ, all. And this passage is about the resurrection. The wicked will be raised. There's a doctrine that says that there is no resurrection of the wicked, but this passage is a passage that says, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Then there's the order that is stated, and that is, each one in his own order, first Christ, the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at His coming. Wait a minute. Oh, that must be the resurrection of the righteous, and there must be 1,000 years. Wait a minute. That will not fit in the rest of the Bible for all kinds of reasons, but in this passage, you don't read of 1,000-year period of time. Christ is the first fruit. And at His resurrection, why does He only discuss the resurrection of the righteous? Because the people in Corinth, if you study 1 Corinthians 15, were denying, at least some were denying the resurrection. There is no resurrection at all. The influence of the Sadducees was in the church, and they say there is no resurrection. He says, you guys don't understand it. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And then the Bible says, afterwards, those that are Christ at His coming. Look at that expression, at His coming. There is the resurrection of those that belong to Him at His coming. You've got to hear this. When Christ comes back, there will be the resurrection of those who are His. That's why the Bible says, at His resurrection, those who are asleep will be awakened, and they will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's not a rapture doctrine. That's just exactly what's going to happen. But I want you to hear John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. If we'd had time tonight, and we're running out of time, I was going to ask this fourth of the congregation to quote the first part of John chapter 5. The hour is coming. That's this section. This section in which all that are in the grave, this section, shall hear His voice and shall come forth. I wish we had time to do that. I want you to understand, the hour is coming. What's going to happen in that hour in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth? You cannot get a millennium of 1,000 years inside 1 hour. And this is not 2 calls of Jesus. This is the one call when all are in the grave, and in that hour, when all that are in the grave hear the voice, in that hour they shall all come forth. And the rest of John 5, 28 and 29 says, Those who are righteous will be a resurrection of life, and those who are wicked will be a resurrection of condemnation. Now look what happens in the rest of this verse. Verse 24 says, at his coming, then the end comes. What's going to happen? He will deliver the kingdom to God the Father when he's put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put his enemies under his feet. What's going to happen? At his coming, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords, will take the kingdom, take the church, and give the church to the Father, and death will be destroyed. Look at the rest of that verse. He must reign until. That's an adverb of time. He's reigning now, and he will continue to reign till death is destroyed. When is death destroyed? When the last enemy is destroyed. What happens when the last enemy is destroyed? Jesus stops reigning. Put in bold print, in capital print, he stops reigning. The millennial doctrine says when he comes back, he's going to start his reign. Oh no. This verse says, at his coming, he'll give the kingdom to the Father, and death will be destroyed, and his reign stops. It does not start. You put the doctrines of men that says he someday is going to come back and start his reign, and this passage that discusses his coming says that when death is destroyed, when all that are in the grave hear his voice and come forth, he will stop reigning. It's not the start of his reign when death is destroyed. It is the end of his reign. And these very things help us to understand that all will be raised, and that is the end of his reign. Now then, What about Revelation chapter 20? Let's look at it. I want to read this. I'm going to leave out parts of it because, the parts I'm leaving out are not critical to this doctrine. I saw an angel coming down from heaven. John sees a vision. He lays hold on the devil and Satan and bounds him for 1,000 years so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. But after those things, he will be released for a while. And then he said, and I saw thrones and they sat on them. Judgment was committed to those on the throne. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead, and they lived and reigned 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live until 1,000 years were finished. And notice this statement, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy, verse 6, is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be released from his prison, will go out to deceive the nations, and fire comes down from out of heaven and devours them, and the devil was deceived, was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented night and day forever. Somebody says, well, there it is. That is the proof of the millennial doctrine. Wait a minute. Let me show you what is not mentioned in Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20 does not mention the second coming of Jesus. Isn't that a vital part of the millennial doctrine? Whatever this passage is about, it does not mention the second coming. It does not mention Jerusalem. The doctrine says he's coming back to Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 20 does not mention the establishment of the kingdom. It does not emphasize the reign of Jesus, but emphasizes the reign of those who were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And get this, Revelation chapter 20 does not mention the bodily resurrection. You've got to get this. What is Revelation chapter 20? I saw souls that were beheaded, and I saw souls on the throne. This is not a resurrection of the body. It's the resurrection of souls. Now, we don't have time to fully look at Revelation, but I'm telling you, in Revelation chapter 6, those souls in the first part of this book are under an altar crying out to God, "How long, O Lord, before you judge and avenge our blood on this earth?" And when you get to chapter 20, it's happened. They're now on the thrones. They're the offscour on the earth. The whole world hates them. Satan and the beast are doing everything they can to destroy them. And these souls are saying, "Lord, how much longer?" You know the answer? A little season. Not a millennium. A little season, and it's going to happen. What happens to these individuals? These individuals who are there are told there are some more that need to die, and then that day will come, or then that time will be when you'll no longer be the offscour on the earth. God's promise to you is that you will sit on thrones. Let me ask you this. Does Matthew sit on a throne? You know, if Matthew was beheaded for the cause of Christ, does Paul sit on the throne? Was he beheaded for the cause of Christ? Was Peter on a throne? Do we not understand that Revelation chapter 20 describes something that is going to happen? Four things about the book of Revelation. It's a revelation to seven churches in Asia in signs of things which must shortly happen. And let me tell you, Revelation chapter 20 says nothing about a bodily resurrection. It's souls that have been under the altar in a vision, and now in a vision these souls are reigning. You and I need to recognize that those individuals who were mocked and were beheaded for the cause of Christ now dominate the teachings of Christ's morality on this earth. Right now they sit on the thrones. Not that they have been bodily resurrected. Let me also mention, what's not mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 is Armageddon. What's not mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 is the rapture. What's not mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 is the tribulation. If these things are not found in Revelation 20, how on earth can this passage be the primary passage of millennialism? What's going to happen in reference to the resurrection? The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. But these souls that were crying out, having been beheaded for Christ, are now sitting on thrones. These verses, to help us understand it is a revelation of things which must come to pass, these verses separate the exaltation of these beheaded souls from the rest of the Bible, from the rest of the book of the Revelation by 1,000 years. The book of Revelation is a revelation of things which must shortly happen. And when Christianity became the official world religion, when Constantine made Christianity the official world religion in 300 AD, Christianity is no longer souls under the altar. They are exalted, And so does not Catholicism come along and talk about St. Matthew and St. James and St. Peter and St. Paul and St. John? Yes, why? Because as Christianity grew, the influence of these men became so much more powerful, and it is in that way that they sit on the throne. Revelation chapter 22, do not add anything to this book. Caution to everyone who adds to the book of Revelation the second coming, Jerusalem, the kingdom being established, Jesus beginning his reign, the bodily resurrection, the Armageddon, and the rapture and the tribulation, because they are not found in Revelation 20. It takes a little bit of time to explain Revelation 20, and we're out of time. But there is what's going to happen after the resurrection in Revelation 20, because there's the judgment of the world, the final judgment of the world. And the Bible says that in that day, those will be judged by the things written in the Bible, and that which is written in the Bible, they must believe in Jesus. They must repent of their sins. They must confess their faith in Jesus and be baptized in order that their sins might be forgiven, and God adds them to that kingdom, to that family, to that church. And he says to them, now be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.